Are you ready to jump into some true crime docs, crime thrillers, and more? Check out our website for an extensive list of our favorite movies and shows at thesirenspodcast.com/whatwewatch and find our favorite true crime and thriller books and authors, some covered on the show, at thesirenspodcast.com/authoralley. You can even find special deals for Amazon Music, Audible, Discovery Plus, Paramount Plus, Showtime, and even Grubhub. If you're looking to jump in immediately, check out our pinned Facebook post for some streaming service free trials on us.
Welcome to 20 Minute Missing and Murdered, where we share a true crime in under 20 minutes. In these segments, we will be sharing information on missing people and cold cases. This podcast contains explicit content, so listener discretion is advised. The opinions expressed on this podcast are solely the views of the hosts and do not reflect the views of affiliates, associates, or sponsors of this podcast. And now, here's your siren, Raven Rollins.
1999. Paul Howell, 45, had just returned home from a shopping trip with his two daughters and sister Megan Toby when he was shot during a carjacking in his parents' driveway the night of July 28, 1999. A description was given to police, being a young black male having 1 to 2 inches of hair, and later Julius Jones would be arrested for matching the description of the shooter. Julius Jones at the time was a 19-year-old student athlete with a promising future, attending the University of Oklahoma on an academic scholarship. He had no prior arrests or convictions. Toby, Howell's sister, testified that she distinctly remembered seeing Jones shoot her brother in front of his two young daughters. Jones, however, maintains that he was framed by a person he says was the actual killer, a high school friend and co-defendant who testified against him. That person was convicted of being the getaway driver and has served 15 years and is now out. That man's name was Christopher Jordan, and he actually matched the eyewitness's hair description, but claimed only to have been the getaway driver and not the shooter. Also, at the time that Jones was arrested, he actually had short hair, and of course you can say, well, maybe he cut it, but there are pictures from a couple of days before the crime was committed that shows that his hair was also short then as well. Other things wrong with this trial. The fact that Jones's alibi was never presented by the defense and he was never put on the stand. Julius Jones claims that he was at home having dinner with his parents and sister at the time of the murder. His trial attorneys didn't even call his family members to the stand. In exchange for testifying that Mr. Jones was the shooter, Christopher Jordan was given a plea deal for his alleged role as the getaway driver. So there was definitely something in it for him for testifying against Jones. Three people incarcerated with Mr. Jordan at different times have said in sworn affidavits that Mr. Jordan told each of them that he committed the murder and framed Mr. Jones. None of these three men have met Mr. Jones, and they do not know one another, and none of them have been offered a shorter sentence or incentive in exchange for disclosing Mr. Jordan's confessions. There's also the impact of racial bias. Mr. Howell, which was a white man, was killed in a predominantly white neighborhood. Immediately, the district attorney, Bob Macy, characterized the crime as an act of violence committed by a black man fueled by drugs. This narrative was perpetuated by the media coverage. The officer who arrested Mr. Jones called him the N-word and dared him to run, then implied he would shoot him if he did. 11 out of the 12 jurors at Mr. Jones' trial were white, and one juror referred to Mr. Jones by the N-word and suggested that he be taken out behind the courthouse and shot. One-third of District Attorney Macy's death penalty convictions have been overturned due to prosecutorial misconduct. Many of those whose convictions were vacated are black people, and to date, 10 people sentenced to death in murder cases in Oklahoma have been exonerated. Julius Jones was found guilty, and he was sentenced to death. His execution was actually scheduled for today, November 18th, 2021, at 4 p.m. Here at Sirens, we always want justice to be served, but we just don't think that happened in this case. Not to the victim, and not to the defendant, who I personally believe is innocent. It seems that Governor Stitt was on the fence as well, because just 30 minutes ago, around noon, he declared clemency for Julius Jones, commuting his sentence to life without parole. It's kind of sad that we have to call this a win, but at least he's not losing his life for a crime that he didn't commit. Information provided by TheInnocenceProject.org, JusticeForJuliusJones.com, and The Washington Post. I would also like to add here that the murder weapon was found in Jones' home. However, like I said before, he was old high school friends with Jordan, meaning that he could have easily gotten into his house at any time and hit the murder weapon in order to frame him. These are all just my opinions, but I do think that the right thing was done today by giving Jones clemency.
Thanks for listening to this episode of 20 Minute Missing and Murdered. All suspects are innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Join us next time on the Sirens Podcast.
Do we have an outro? That's our outro, isn't it?